Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're on this series. We've been working on shipwreck, and I have a little byline to go with it today. We're going to start at Acts chapter 15, verse 36, and then we'll go into chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. You'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's now go back to visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." But Paul insisted that they should not take him with them, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and not gone with them to the work. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him. And because the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Verse 5 together. So the church were strengthened and increased in number daily. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're going to learn some stuff today about us as believers, as Christians, as those who are anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit, that we got issues. And Lord, in the midst of all that, you still use us and you still allow your grace to be imparted to us. But God, there's something that we need to learn about us, that some people will shipwreck and we are the person who, instead of trying to rescue them, will be the person who will cast them out to sea. God, there's something that we can learn from this that will help us to become better believers and more believable. And I pray by the power, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we'll allow the Holy Spirit to change us from things that we've been holding on to for years, that today we can let go and let God be who he's going to be in our lives. We thank you for this. We praise you for this. We ask all this in Jesus' powerful name, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. I add a little byline to this. Instead of shipwreck, it said, grace that will harbor your shipwreck. Because some of you need a harbor for your shipwreck. There's a lot of things that happen in life, and I myself, even going through into a scripture like this, it is so easy. It should come to no surprise, in spite of the powerful experience that we've had when we came to know the Lord at the time of our conversion, that the freedom that we enjoyed from the bondage of sin, we have difficulty granting the same measure of forgiveness to those who have offended us. In other words, some of you are still holding stuff against folks. So not me, Pastor. It's not me. It's her. It was her. And when she says, "I'm sorry," I'll forgive her. Oh, really? I got something for you. Our giftedness and talent will often be sidelined by our inability to process the weakness and immature behavior of people we believe do not deserve gracious forgiveness. We'll get to grace in just a few moments, but here's the three things we'll talk about today. Number one, are you presently holding people hostage to your judgment and lack of forgiveness for offenses they have committed against you? That's a yes or no question. It's like, "Oh, I might be. I'm not really sure." Oh, yes, you are. Because if they walked in the room right now, all of a sudden the atmosphere in your heart would change, or your attitude would change. And how difficult this may be saying to a group of believers or Christians or people that are born again, blood washed, you know, people of God that just hold on to stuff. Well, let me go on to number two. Do you find it hard to come to the aid of people that you believe have experienced shipwreck? Because you know what you're going to say? It's their own fault. If she hadn't done that and I told her not to do it, that's her problem. She's going to have to deal with it the best way she can. And this story kind of follows up on what we've been learning about Paul the Apostle, amazing, anointed, powerful, brilliant guy who just really just does some amazing stuff. And with all this stuff going on, this one little thing ties him up. What about number three? Is there a standard of behavior that you have chosen to adhere to that you believe everyone should adhere to no matter what the circumstances? In other words, if we measured everything by the way you forgive or by the way you operate, would we be okay? Can we use your standards and put them up on the board and everybody can live by those? I'm scared of you. I really am. I'm scared of me. And sometimes. Because sometimes the things that really don't make sense, we can just kind of get involved on a level it really, really shouldn't be. My first little thought to you today is one strike and you're out. What kind of game is that? Acts chapter 15, verse 37. Let's look at that. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. A couple things you need to know about Barnabas. Barnabas is by nature an encourager. But some of you would take his particular encouraging as an enabler. And I want to draw a line between enabling and encouraging. There is a definite line. But some of you, what you would call enabling, is really some people need to be encouraged to do the right thing. And for whatever reason there might be that you've let people go, let's consider a couple things here. First of all, it's very easy to move from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit into the works of the flesh. Somebody say amen. You can leave here in the spirit, but somebody cut you off in traffic, Jesus is gone. He gone, he gone. Things that come out of your mouth or gestures that you might manifest, I don't know what happened to you. You go, oh, Jesus, I don't know who she thinks she is. You honk on your horn, you speed up and do all kind of crazy stuff. Born again, spirit-filled believers. They used to have Jesus bumper stickers. I'm glad they don't have them anymore because he took a bad rap on a bad ride. That's all I know. Honk if you love Jesus. I'll tell you, shut up. Don't say nothing. Keep it a secret. Paul and Barnabas were suited to work together to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the things that happens. When things like this happen, the enemy will use it to break up a powerful, anointed two guys working together. Now, I could favor probably Barnabas' side because you know, it's always good to encourage this type of thing. But I think sometimes our approach is a bit stifled by the fact that we're just gonna stand. I don't care what he said. I'm gonna stand right up in his chest and tell him how it is. He just needs to know. Paul needs to shut it down right now. But here's the issue: the collateral damage of what happens in the spiritual realm is all of a sudden your giftedness is sidelined working together with that person. Now, I'll put some real flesh on this in just a few moments. But what about this? They daily sought to do the will of God. I believe that both of these men were born again, spirit-filled believers. They were. Ever sought the will of God and then you come across somebody and they just don't see it the right way? Well, Barnabas, by nature, sought to encourage and build up Christians, and he loved to edify and build up people, and he'd be a good life coach for some of you. That's something that came on the scene in the last probably 15, 20 years. People go to a life coach, and they kind of assess you and tell you what you'd really be good at and things you need to really, you know, could improve on. And they kind of say, well, what do you like in this? And they go through all these particular things and trying to find the best that's in you. I want to tell you, first of all, Jesus knows the best that's in you. And once he imparts his Holy Spirit into you, and we're going to get into this into some depth, the Holy Spirit can do an assessment on you in an instant, things that would take you months to figure out. Matter of fact, some of you are stuck right now, and hopefully by the end of this message, the Lord will get through to you in some pretty amazing, direct things. Well, he was quick to believe that people could overcome their shortcomings and weaknesses. And I'm sure that spirit of encouragement is when you can talk to someone, well, you know, I've been through this. You give your testimony, said, you know, you can overcome this particular thing. And so Barnabas, you know, here's what happened. This is the very first missionary journey that they went on. Paul takes his kid, and he says, oh my goodness, what have I got myself into? And so he escapes and he says, I can't do this. There's just no way, I can't do it. And so they're going to go on the second journey, and he says, well, and Barnabas says, well, let's give the guy another chance. He says, I don't want you to raise your hand. But I know there's some people in here right now agree with Paul. So you just can't have some weak person on the team that's not going to stick with the program. They just need to be sidelined. They need to figure it out. And when they're ready to join the group, we'll see what happens. But at this point, it's just too risky. Well, here we go. The idea is that he was, let me take a little sidebar here. In our culture right now, I think it's an epidemic. And this is my own personal belief, so you don't have to subscribe to it unless you want to be right. So, but right now in our culture, and I don't think it's my imagination, we have what was called free-range kids. You just let them roam and figure out whatever they want. He'll be fine. He's carrying a knife. He'll be fine. You see kids wandering around in different places. Oh, they're fine. They're just in a place of discovery. They're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to take them away. But we don't want to damper their expression of them. They need to have time to just to discover. They're targets. And some of the ways they think is, oh, they'll figure it out for themselves. We just want to give them a chance to just explore. So I'm not a non-disciplinarian, but there's a time when you need to have a reason for why you say no.
Amen.
Now, I know back in my day, because I said so. Because you living in my house. And if you want to live here tomorrow, you're going to do it my way. You understand? That's no good either. We're going to stay with that in just a moment. So Paul took the ministry seriously and gave little room for a development of personal growth, and he was quick to hold on to offenses. Now that's kind of weird, because Paul, who was once Saul, you're having Christians killed. You're at the feet of Stephen holding people's coats while they're killing other folks. You're about as guilty as Judas, and you're up here. You won't forgive this kid who couldn't stay at a particular revival meeting. I think that you've got a problem. But you know what? Paul didn't think he did. And so they separate. But in the next chapter, that's the reason why I went into it. I won't get into the whole thing about it. In the next chapter, he goes to this particular place, and he finds a young fellow named Timothy who believed his father's a Greek, and he spoke well of the brethren, this type of thing. And Paul wanted him to go on with him. So he took him, had him circumcised, because there were Jews in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Talk about a two-sided, double-tongued way of looking at stuff. Paul, are you serious? You dumped John Mark. You found somebody else that's more your flavor. And you invite him to join your team. Then on top of that, he says, oh, well, if you're going to join my team, I know you. Well, let's get you circumcised so everybody will be okay with it. Talk about living a double life. That's crazy. But you know what? Paul doesn't see it. I need to make you aware of your blind spots. They're huge. We see them, you don't. Clue phone is ringing, pick it up. Because it's right in the next chapter. Now, we have the ability to select things, but you know, this is how he defends it. He's quick to see the urgency of the gospel. He says, well, so I do need someone to mentor. And this Timothy guy looks like somebody I can control. I said it. You don't have to. And Timothy's a really cool kid. I tell you, you'd have to control. You tell me I'm going to get circumcised at this age? Mm-mm. No. Guess again. No. You go on your little journey by yourself. We'll find somebody else to work with, okay? But here's the part I need to take you to. Neither Paul nor Barnabas has yielded to the Holy Spirit to resolve the issue. That's the part that really gets us in trouble. In other words, the idea behind this, they allowed their preference to be determine their direction. And the difference between them went into fleshly disagreement. Wow. They chose to dissolve their ministry together rather than resolve a disagreement. I know you've never done that. But I want to give you some information that will help, some of your friends. Tell them you're busy. Oh, I'm sorry, baby. Just throw it on the floor. It'll stop. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But anyway, here's the interesting thing. There's one little verse in here that will help you. In verse 40, it says, "But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God." Oh, my goodness. So now we've drugged the church into it, or other people in the church, but that part in there to the grace of God is what we're going to spend the majority of our time on today, is that word called grace. I'll define it for you. I'll give you an acrostic in just a moment. There's a lot of things that you are operating on that I'm operating on right now. And you know what you're operating under? Grace. Amen. Grace is giving you the time to finally figure it out that you've been wrong for the last 50 years. Or last 30 years. Or the last 30 minutes. I don't care how long it is. It's grace that gives you the time to figure it out. And so the men and brethren there, they said, "Man, these guys are so anointed. Paul and, they're together. Paul and Barnabas together. They're an unbeatable team, but they're not going to work together. So, well, let's lay hands on Paul. We'll send him away with Silas. And Barnabas is going to take John Mark, and we'll call it good." Do you know what's killing us in the church? Fracturing like that. Oh, things can be done. But can you imagine what could be done if we would be willing to be honest enough to resolve this stuff? And how we could put the enemy to flight? Because he loves division. Loves it. That little bitty thing that you got against that person, or I shouldn't say little bitty thing, something, the big old thing, doesn't matter. Well, I underline this for myself. The Holy Spirit made room for their experience to impact, for a delay. But the Lord has the ability to allow us to experience the real impact of our decisions that are contrary to his appointed will. Repeat after me these words. If I had only. You fill in the blank. How would your life be different if you had only? How would your relationship with that person be if you had only? And I want to tell you, the majority of our life, I shouldn't say the majority, but a good portion of our life is filled with regrets of things that if we had done them differently, our outcome would be different right now. But you know what? By the time this service is over, there's some of those things that will be resolved, and you will leave out here a free man or a free woman from that thing that's held over you, held you hostage for years. Now watch this. Being filled with the Spirit will make us either more sensitive or less sensitive to the things in this life. Boy, that's kind of a, what? Either make you more sensitive or less sensitive. Let me define that for you. Being filled with the Spirit is not this glossolalia effect comes upon you. You speak in tongues for hours and hours and hours. You're prophesying this type of thing. And all of a sudden you're a super person. That is not what the Holy Spirit is all about. The Holy Spirit starts on the inside and he works his way out. And on his way out, he reminds you of those things that are not like him. Wow. He's living inside of you and he warns you, don't open your mouth. I don't want a show of hands of people who disobeyed him. Because I don't need a show of hands. I can tell you right now, we all have done that. And he said, don't say that. And you said, I got to tell you. I just got to say it. How did it work for you? It didn't work. Because there's some things where you need to shut up. In Jesus' name. Sometimes we need to become less sensitive to the desire of having things our own way. That's what the Holy Spirit says. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. You don't need to have it your own way. That's fine. Just acquiesce to that. It's no big deal. I think for the women's brunch, the napkins should be yellow. And I'm going to call Sister Ivy, and she's going to get a team, and they're going to get yellow, because yellow's been my favorite color, and it just blends in with the season so much better. And you're ready to send her an email. I just think that's what it should be. You say, people won't do that. People do stupid stuff. Well, if you're not going to do that, I don't think I can come. Oh, yeah. How about this one? Other times, we need to be more sensitive to the things that will bring comfort to those we think don't deserve another chance. God says, skip all the religious stuff. Just get down to the place of just loving folks. Some of you are so religious, people can't get close to you. I had an experience yesterday. Remember I told you we get to preach one sermon. Did you preach a sermon last week? I barely made it under the mark. It was Saturday evening. I had to go to the Dollar Tree to figure it out, but that's okay. Hey, there's candidates at the Dollar Tree. People don't care, okay? They're there. They need to save some money. It's cool. So I went in there, and I didn't find what I wanted. It was some little silly thing. But on my way out there, I met these two people. It was Erica and Matthew. And they had a song, a sign that says, you know, we're homeless. We don't have anything going on. Even if they were faking it, they're good, the best fakes I've ever seen. No, I'm serious. Because not only their clothes, and unfortunately their dental work wasn't in place. And you can see a number of things that would tell them, they ain't faking it. Nobody wants to look that bad on purpose. And so my thought was, religion started to take over. You ought to give them something. So I already had it in my mind. I said, I'm going to give them some money. So I'm going to give them some money. And God said, oh, no. God says, stop. Ask them their names and ask them if there's something you can pray with them about. Ooh, Jesus. They're standing in front of the door. People are coming and going. And these aren't the most fashionable people I've ever seen in my life. So I said, is there anything I can pray with you about? Oh, yeah, this type of thing. Can we pray right now? Oh, yeah. So here we are. We're joining hands in a circle in front of the Dollar Tree, calling on Jesus. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit showed up. I'll tell you what. Because the thing about it is, you have to get over yourself and over all this stuff you're putting on other folks. God's saying, God wants to use you. Get over your stuff about you. Think, oh, this has never worked. It shouldn't be this big. Let the Holy Spirit direct the traffic. Okay? So that was my healing. Thank you for my therapeutic thing that I have with you at this moment. The fullness of the Spirit is the key to navigating ourselves through the waters of people's shipwreck. Now, how about this? We must allow our mind to stay in step with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. This is pretty fun because it says some things. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. Let me stop right there. Have you believed in vain? Well, I don't think so. So we need to hold fast to that. And this is Paul, he's writing a little bit later, and the interesting thing about it is he has the Corinthian church to deal with. Now, the falling out he had with John Mark was before the Corinthian, he got along with the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church taught him some stuff. Because they had people, you know, a man taking his father's wife, sleeping with his father's wife, you know, other types of other fornication going on, this type of thing. He hadn't seen anything. Somebody leaving you at a revival meeting, nothing compared to what he's about to see. Okay? Go on to verse 3. For I delivered to you the first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That should be the most indelible point of our conversation. If you get away from the basics of who Jesus is, you're going to get in trouble. Yes, you will. Because you get all your doctrine out here and all these different ideas, and you're going to go this direction. He says, no, wait, let's get back to the basic stuff. Well, look at this. We must endeavor to keep the main thing the main thing. Somebody say amen. It's easy to get out of step with the Spirit when we give in to our preferences and personal ideas. God doesn't need your pointers. We must remember the gospel as the focus of all that we do. And I think you need to ask yourself the question. I ask myself the question many times. How does this promote the gospel?
It really doesn't. It kind of promotes what I want to do. What I think. Well, I don't know.
How about this? Personalities and preferences can often sabotage our purpose. We must be willing to release people from our brandings. Now, this is where it's going to get rough. Brace yourself. We need to stop using terminology about each other like, oh, he's a nut job, basket case, piece of work. So you guys kind of laugh, Stop it. Because you say it in jest and you kind of laugh about it and this type of thing. But you know something? Would you say it when they were right here? Would you? I don't think you would. I think they call that backbiting. But we think it's okay. And here's the thing. You say, this is kind of a sobering message. Because this is a person that Jesus died for. And a person's behavior is not always going to be in accordance to what we think it should be. But we're never licensed to talk about people like, you know, they're a psych job. Oh, boy. I know you wish you stayed home too late. But here's what you can do. We must be willing to confront without condemnation. We must be willing to exhort without indictment. Find me a pathway out. Don't lock me in. Help me to see what I don't see. But don't label me for the rest of my life. Because God saw you just who you were. And he sees you as beloved. He sees you as worth dying for and this type of thing. So you make the cross of no effect when you start labeling folks and putting them out of God's equation. I'm almost done. I know you're happy, but that's too bad. Okay? We must be willing. Now, here's that word grace. I think they're going to put this on the board. Grace is the key to turning a shipwreck into salvage, a shipwreck into a salvage operation. The acrostic I got for it is G is God's, R is redemptive, A is appointed, C is circumstances, and I put an add a two in there, E is empower, to empower us to make changes that we thought were impossible. That's what grace is. It's a time that God gives us to make changes that we at this moment don't think are possible. Some of you think, I'll never get through this bigger thing. I'll never get through this whole idea of that, you know. And I want to talk about addiction for a moment, if I may. I don't care whether you, well, I may, because I'm speaking. Some of you have a timeline for people to get over their stuff. And we put out that timeline. And this is not an excuse to baby folks or to tolerate such issues, but God is not interested in your timeline. Because his grace that he's dealt with you in your particular issue is unexplainable to us. If I would have taken him off the planet a long time ago. I've been done with you so long ago. Grace is something that's beyond explanation. But let me give you a greater definition as far as that's concerned. It's the time to empower us to make the changes that we thought were impossible. Some of you are in addictive circumstances right now that you think, I'll never change. But I want you to know that God's grace will take you to the end where you can find that change. Yes, it will. I don't need to have anybody stand up today, but I know there's some people that were in addiction that thought they'd never get out, but God brought you out, didn't he? Yeah, I see one fellow, he said, I know, I'm standing right now because he brought me out. He's the only one who could do it. Everything you tried didn't work. Let's get back to, got to resolve some things for Paul here. Paul had to reassess his importance to the church. Back to chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. Watch what he says here. This is great. I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He's finally reached reality. It took him a little time with the Corinthian church to realize he was not as special as he thought he was. He was not so special that he could kick this young kid out saying, I'll never go on an evangelistic campaign with you again. But all of a sudden he says, they call me an apostle. He began to say, oh my goodness. I didn't take John Mark on this particular campaign. And all the time I was killing Christians. What kind of Christian am I? Can I ask you, what kind of Christian are you? Let's go back to the next couple of scriptures, 10 and 11. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I want to say, to point your finger right this and say this. God's grace is with me all the time. Things I thought I couldn't do, I'm able to do because of his grace. Now, I don't want you to forget that, because all the stuff you're struggling with right now, God's grace will take you through it. It's not to be presumed upon, but it's going to be relied upon, because he will, it's from grace to grace, from glory to glory. He's taking you from day to day. Well, it's just about done. He was aware of the sin, of his sin generally. But I got to get you out of this situation. So I want to give you this one little quotation. I took it, and I hope it'll marinate over you. By grace of God, we know who you are. But listen to this. One rejection can tip the scale of 100 affirmations. Someone say, oh, you're really nice. Oh, you look really nice today, and this type of thing. But somebody can come along to you and say, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're no good, this type of thing. And you know what? Every affirmation that you've had up to this trigger point stops at that point, and you latch onto that one thing that was said. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have many times, we have upset people, we have sent them down the wrong road by our judgment to them, and people have been trying to bring them out of this pit of despair, and we come along and say, you'll never amount to anything. My dad's coined phrase to us, to me as a kid, was, you aren't worth a nickel's worth of dog meat. That's what my dad told me. I remember when he told me, I was 7 years old. I was going down the stairs at our house. He says, you're not worth a nickel's worth of dog meat. How do I remember that today? Because at that particular time, it was the most stinging, hurtful thing I'd ever heard in my life. It was Jesus' grace that told me that wasn't true. But coming from my dad, it tortured me for years. And do you realize some of the things you've said, some of the things you've done, has done the same thing to people that are around you? And today it stops. Today it stops. Well, from catastrophe to comfort. Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. I like to get to the redemptive part of the story because it's worth it. We'll get there. Okay. Aristarchus, this is Paul, he's writing this in Colossia. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Just leave those up there for a moment. This is Paul's subtle way of including in his writings that, you know, I made a bad call on Mark. He says, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you receive instructions, that if he comes to you, welcome him. Paul changed his mind. But you know what? He had to go through some stuff to change his mind. He had to have a few people turncoat on him to abandon him. Because you read the whole letter there, he says, the coppersmith was against me, and this other person was against me, and this other person lied on me, and these other people, you know, I got in jail because of them. And he realized, you know, people will do things. And him being all, you know, sideways about this kid, this young kid who didn't go to a missionary meeting or to a particular revival meeting was nothing. There are things that you are holding on to right now that are nothing in the grand scheme of life. But you're still holding on to it. I got a word for you. Three words. Let it go. In Jesus' name. Well, so this particular thought here. There's this phrase that says, time heals all wounds. I put it this way. Time wounds all heals. Because you're a heal. You need to be wounded. It's probably a better expression of what happens when we allow ourselves to learn from our mistakes. It'll wound you. You have to be wounded, but all of a sudden that will bring your healing. Because when you find out other people are a lot worse than the people that you've been holding hostage, oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, help me. The great shipwreck that was caused by John Mark was somehow resolved by Paul. We don't know how it was resolved, but there's one other scripture that we can look to that will probably help us get it done. When we navigate the true course of life experiences, we will discover that the value in people that we once thought had none. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. This is great. You'll love this. It leaves nothing. He says, be diligent to come to me quickly. Now, right now, he's in jail. What if you said, you know, Paul, you're a good guy, but you're a jailbird. I don't hang out with jailbirds. You know what I'm saying? It kind of hurts my reputation. For Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present world and has departed from me to Thessalonica. Crescens of Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Three different people have left him. Luke, only Luke is with me. Now watch this. Get Mark, which is John Mark, and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Oh. Yeah. Paul discovered that abandonment is something that you must learn to deal with in this life. Some of you are sitting here right now with abandonment issues. Could have been mom, could have been dad, grandpa, grandma, your best friend, this type of thing. But I want to plug the hole in the dike right now. And I'll plug it with these words that Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Listen, repeat after me. Would you? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's Jesus' promise to you. Anytime you felt alone, it's because you weren't allowing the presence of Jesus to have its rightful place in your life. And so Mark had matured and learned from his earlier mistakes, and he's useful for ministry now. He's willing to trust again, and it's just a pretty amazing thing. So Paul learned many things from his experience with John Mark, and I just want to level them to you. But I think the most profound thing he learned was out of 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, I've heard it read at many weddings. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, and it profits me nothing. Though I do, you know, give my body to be burned and da-da-da-da, it profits me nothing. But the things I want to extract from that will help us. That love is the ultimate gift that God wants to manifest through us. And so 1 Corinthians 13, I don't think he was necessarily meant to be. I mean, it's okay to read it at a wedding, but I think it's kind of like the treatise that Paul writes after his experience of having gone through these things with John Mark. He says, though I speak the tongue of men and of angels, because the guy was, I could really preach. But without love, it didn't mean anything. He was a prophetic man. Doesn't matter. He'd been beat up, shipwrecked, and everything else. It still didn't profit him anything. Here's the things that I'm going to leave you with as the worship team comes up to the platform now. In 1 Corinthians 13, he just gives you just kind of an outline of of the things that you may want to apply to your life that will help you in the times when you don't want to forgive or don't want to let go of something. He says, love suffers long. I want to tell you the difference between long-suffering and suffering long. A long-suffering person, you say, well, you know, just kind of long-suffering. They kind of, you know, give you some room. But suffers long. It means you don't have an end date in mind in your suffering. He says, you know what? Whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it. How about this? He says this. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And here's the summary. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And here's the part that everybody needs to know. Love never fails. Love never fails. Now, that's a big thing to deliver at this point. But I want to tell you something. Your love will fail. My love will fail. But Jesus' love won't. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. I want to get really down to business in these last few moments. Some of you walked through these doors this morning and didn't know it, but that burden that's been on your life for a long period of time, or the John Mark or Jane Marie that hurt you a long time ago. And you said, I'll never, never, never trust anybody again. Some of you suffered from some horrific issues with parents. And in your estimation of mine, they should not have been parents. Leave your eyes down for a moment because I need to speak into somebody's spirit. I don't want you looking around. And the pain of that is with you this moment. And you've tried everything that you think to forgive that, to let go of it, and you haven't been able to. I want to tell you at the right service, the right time, that today Jesus is going to set you free. In the body of Christ, we have some things that we wanted to be perfect about, but we don't do a good job in some areas. But through time and through the grace of God, God gives us a chance to get it together. I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, I believe there's people that are going to be coming today, and they're going to leave behind maybe weeks, months, years of burdens. Some of you are already believers, but some of you are not. So I need to license you today that even though you say, well, I haven't accepted Jesus yet, that isn't the issue here. Once you are ready to let go of those things, he's able to bring you to a relationship with him. But maybe that thing has helped you or kept you from becoming to Jesus because you felt like, I'll never forgive him. And if I don't forgive him, he won't forgive me. We're going to do a double whammy. You're going to forgive them. He's going to forgive you. And you're going to be in a relationship with him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cast out every evil imagination, every demonic force, everything that would hinder people from coming to you today, of being free from those issues that even at times they felt so right about and so justified doing. Lord, I want to take away years of torment off of folks that when that person would call or they come into the room, their life would change because here's this person that hurt me or this person that's been against me and I can't do it. I want to release them from that bondage right now. For the times of people that have been abandoned, of people who were walked out in their marriage, who had unfaithful husband, unfaithful wife, addicted children. Today, God, we're going to leave it all behind us, and we're going to allow your Holy Spirit to do a work that only he can do. If that's you today and you want freedom from that stuff, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand up and say, I'm done. I am done. It's going to happen. I'm done. I'm going to leave this stuff behind me. Several of you, more of you need to stand up right now in Jesus' name. Break it off of yourself. Stop. Stop it. Stop it in Jesus' name. Say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to give the devil a stronghold in my life. There's three other women right now. Stand up to your feet right now. Don't live in that place any longer. Let Jesus do his work in you. In Jesus' name, I command the devil to take his hands off of you so you can be free to be all that God has desired for you to be. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. It's called Jesus is the Sweetest Name I Know, and I'm going to invite other folks who aren't standing now as we sing this song to come forward and allow Jesus to work in their life. You that are standing now, as we sing this song, you come forward, God's going to do a work in your life. He's going to bring forth healing in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.